Good morning and welcome to OCC Live here on this glorious Sunday morning. My name's Ian and I'm going to be walking with you through some of this morning's content along with John, our pastor, and with Ben and Vicky, who are going to be leading some worship in a moment, and Phil, who is behind the scenes making all of this work. We're really thankful to you for joining us this morning. So I'm going to pray in a moment. But we want to just highlight some of the chat features that are available. Please post your comments, interact with us via the interactive chat there on your screen or on your tablet, whatever it is that you're using to engage this morning. We'd love to hear from you. You can post your prayers, you can request prayer, and one of us will pick that up and begin to engage just in prayer with you this morning. And so we're delighted that we can gather together through this technology. You know, we are, the church is very much flesh and blood. And at this moment in time, though, we're having to use this wonderful technology to be able to come together and worship. And so we're going to do that in just a moment. So would you join with me as we pray? So, Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you for your abundant kindness to us. Lord, today as we worship and celebrate, as we give thanks for who you are, Lord, would you begin to expand our understanding of your care and your provision and your majesty today as we sing these songs of praise, as we listen to the lyrics, as we engage together. Lord, may we know your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Thanks, Ben and Vicky. If you could just lead us, that would be amazing.
Stars they wept, the morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon.
Defeated now forever, he is. In church. I'm just going to jump in because we've had an email prayer request come through and we're just going to pray into this just for a few minutes. Many of you all know Ralph and Renata and their son Richard from church. I've just had an email. I've not got the full details, but just saying that Ralph has contacted someone in church. Eddie, whether you want to comment anything and say any further, that Renata's been taken into hospital. So the ambulance has arrived just to take her into hospital. I don't know any more than that. So I just think while the music's playing, we're going to pray into some stuff in a moment. But I just think it'd be good just to pray for them right now, for whatever reason she's been taken into hospital. Lord, we just pray over Ralph and Richard that you would just bring them a peace right now. And for Renata, who's in that ambulance, as she's been taken to the hospital, for whatever reason that is, Lord, I just pray your healing right now in Jesus' name. We pray your kingdom. Your kingdom come on earth in that ambulance right now, in her life right now. Your kingdom where there is wholeness, where there is healing, where whatever is wrong with her does not exist in your kingdom. Lord, I pray that healing and wholeness into her life right now. Lord, we declare, great is the Lord. Great are you, Lord. I just wonder, let's sing that chorus to that song over this family and over the circumstances and the situations that you know. Whatever it is that you are facing and people you know are facing, why don't you just sing this declaration of the greatness of God over that situation? Vicky, will you just sing for us? Just lead us in that song right now. God, we thank you that in you we have a hope that, Lord, our soul is sure and steadfast, an anchor. Your hope is an anchor in the midst of everything we go through. The storms that we face, the circumstances and the situations, Lord, even one of our church members right now, part of our family is facing right now, and others that we perhaps don't know about, Lord. We thank you that in you we have a sure and certain hope. Hope is not dead. Hope is not gone. Hope is not lost. Lord, we celebrated last week. You might have gone into the grave on Friday, but hope remains because you rise again on Sunday. And so we have hope. Regardless of the circumstances and the things we see going on around us, we are a people of hope. Church, I want to encourage you, let's not let hope die. Let's not let hope be diluted. Let's keep our eyes fixed on him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Let's keep our hope attached to him who never lets us down, who is always consistent, always faithful, always strong and secure. Let's keep our hope in him. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. I've had the privilege this week of being in contact with Fiona, part of our church. Many of you will know Fiona is a nurse in the NHS. She's returned to work after semi-retirement. And I just asked her if she would give us a bit of information about how things are in the hospital, personally for her, how she's experiencing things, just to help us pray. So we're going to pray into that circumstance and situation while we worship, while we pray. We're going to do some other things as well this morning. But I'm just wondering if we can play that video from Fiona, moving video of her just explaining the situation in the hospital, just to help us be able to pray for this next moment in this service.
I went back to work today after semi-retirement. I was lucky enough to have the month of March off. My first shift was this week. I went back to work expecting to go onto an orthopaedic ward. And boy, did I have a shock when I arrived, as the ward that I was working on had been converted into a COVID unit isolation ward. This is where patients are suffering from COVID. It is a shutdown ward, which means that once you are actually on the ward, you can't leave, because we need to keep ourselves safe and we need to keep patients safe. The patients are in bays of four. They need looking after, they need caring for. You have to put your PPE protection on before you enter the rooms. And luckily, it isn't full. It is only partial, which means we wear visors, we wear a face mask, aprons and gloves. There is a bay of four patients, of where they are extremely poorly, of where they have difficulty in breathing. They can't taste anything. They can't do anything for themselves. Most of them are either on oxygen or breathe easy oxygen with a mask and a bag. It is a very stressful time for them. They are struggling very much. Even breathing is hard for them. As nurses and carers, we need to actually put on our full protection before we go into a room, of where we wear our visors, our masks, our aprons and our gloves, to care for the patients in a bay of four people. That four people are human beings who are struggling with life at the moment. The stress that they are under is incredible. The pain that they are enduring is unbearable. Every minute they struggle to breathe. Every second, is painful for them to live. It has really opened my eyes to how much I adore my job, how much I love working for the NHS, because all I want to do is to care for people. My next month worth of shifts is going to be looking after people on lockdown wards with COVID. As staff, our emotions are up and down. Our stress levels and anxiety are so high. Our tiredness is incredible. We are struggling with the shift patterns that we have, as it is so hard. When you are actually in the ward, it's very difficult for you to come out because the needs of the patients are so great. It is hot, it is tiring, it's exhausting, it's physically and mentally draining. We were so short-staffed at work on Thursday when I attended that I spent an hour and a half looking after my patients in one room. By the time I'd left, I was physically drained. I was dehydrated. I was hot. I was so very tired. One of my nurses came out from the ward that she was looking after her patients, and she was crying in tears because her patients were so poorly and needed so much help. And she asked me if I could go and help her. I said, sure. You just need to wait for a few minutes while I clean my mask. That 60 seconds felt like an eternity to go to help her. I managed it. I went in to help look after her patients who were so dreadfully, dreadfully poorly.
I can imagine that you, like me, have just been so moved by that testimony from Fiona of just the situations that our nurses and doctors and carers are experiencing in hospitals up and down the country. I'm sure that's replicated many, many times over. And so just in the next few moments, we're going to spend a few minutes just praying for our NHS workers. I know that when we've been doing our Connect group on Thursday evenings, you know, we've taken a pause moment to go out and join our neighbours in a pause for the NHS. And we're so thankful, aren't we, that we have people like Fiona who have given their time and their career and their life to serve others. And so we're going to pray for this provision of the protective equipment that will come through and come through quickly. Let's pray for their mental health and their stability and the sense of overwhelming pressure that they're experiencing, that they would know Fiona and others who carry the presence of God would bring the presence of God into those environments, and there would be something tangibly different about those wards because of their presence, and that Fiona and others would know real strength that comes from God. And so let's just spend a moment in prayer. I'll pray and join with me as Ben just plays quietly in the background, and then we're going to lead into some more worship. But Lord, we are so thankful for the NHS. We're thankful for those doctors and nurses and healthcare assistants in hospitals and care homes that are across the country and across the globe, actually, Lord, where those professions are. are serving and putting their own lives at risk. And so, Lord, we do want to pray your protection upon our work, NHS workers. We want to pray for their provision of protective equipment, Lord, that that would come through quickly, that manufacturing systems would be geared up into greater capacity to be able to cope with the demand. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would protect the not only the physical health of the staff, but the mental health and the stability. Lord, that for those who are walking with you, Jesus, that they would know a real sense of your presence in the midst of those wards, and ministering into the lives of the patients that are so stricken by this disease. Lord, we ask that you would bring an end to it. But Lord, we really ask that you would indeed go before them and with them. And may people like Fiona be a positive influence in those environments. May they know a real sense of your strength and your mercy and kindness at work in and through them. So Lord, we're asking, God, that you would intervene in this current situation and bring a breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Ben.
In the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you into your careful hands. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new. To your careful hand. When I Make me love you. Make me whatever. sing a little louder. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is humility. Sing a little louder, heaven comes to fight for me.
Yeah. Oh, we thank you. I just wonder, let's sing that again as a church. Let's just sing that. I'm going to sing in the middle of a storm. Let's just sing that out right now. Let's sing it over each other. Let's sing it over our town. Sing it over our hospitals. Sing it over our nation, over our leaders. Let's sing it out.
I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Lord, we pray right now that a song of hope would flow down our streets. Lord, a volume of a sound of hope would ring through our hospitals. Those that are there right now that are followers of you, disciples of you, that love you. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just infuse them with hope. God, you would just pour out on our nation, those of us that follow you, that our light would shine because we have a hope in you. I was reminded just as we were singing of 1 Peter 5, it says, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. There's an eternal promise in that. But God, we ask right now, those of us that hope in you, we don't hope in this circumstance. We don't hope in good politics. We don't hope in good friendships. We hope in you. We like those things, but we hope in you because, Lord, you are faithful to your promise. And so, Lord, we can stand steadfast knowing that after we've suffered a little while, God, your promises, you will restore us. You will make us firm and steadfast. So we claim that now in Jesus' name. Help us to be that shining light to the people around us for your glory. Amen. Amen. There's some scriptures, we'll read those out and pray those. I was thinking it had gone a little bit quiet on the chat, but I can see that people have just been typing away longer messages. So that's great. Just keep those coming. We're going to do something we tried last week. We had a lot of messages last week about people enjoying the little chat that Ian and myself had. And so we thought we'd keep it going, and we're going to, over these next few weeks, we don't know how many weeks, we'll see where the chat leads us, just for just a few minutes on a Sunday. We want to involve everybody in this chat, and we're going to chat around Psalm 23. It's a scripture that I have come back to throughout my life. A lot of people throughout history, it's probably one of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible, used at different situations and circumstances. But I just feel as the season we're in right now, Psalm 23 is one that we can gather around as a community. In it is so much, it's so rich, and it reveals Christ, it reveals our Savior Jesus, it reveals the love God has for us and who we are in that. And so I think we've got a video now of Becky in our church. She's just going to read Psalm 23 for us to gather around. But please comment in the videos, anything that you come to as we're reading this out, and then we're going to chat together.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
That's great. Just gathering around Psalm 23 and just, Ian, just share some of your thoughts on Psalm 23. Just probably those first three verses, just the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Just what are your thoughts on that, Ian?
It's a beautiful psalm, isn't it? And no doubt one that we've, if you've been in Christian circles or indeed will have attended funerals, will have heard read so often, John. And sometimes I think the familiarity can sometimes soften the impact of what's going on in this. It's so rich, isn't it? In that which he points us to is that David's. David as a shepherd boy reflecting on this idea of this, the presence of God and the peace of God and his leading as a shepherd. But this idea then that the Lord is not just he's not a ruler in the same sense of a dictator. He's a shepherd, and it carries with it some ideas of Near East, actually, where kings were often referred to as shepherd. And I love the personal touch. I don't know about you, John. It's intimate and it's personal, but it also is. It goes beyond that. And this idea of being led by somebody who loves us is carried throughout, I think. So I don't know. There are just some initial reflections really on the opening couple of words of this psalm.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. God would reveal to David through a song. I mean, we've got to remember this is a song. This is poetry. This is a metaphor. So a metaphor, it means what it says, but it also means what it doesn't say. And this picture that is being displayed through this song that David writes, that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And just as I'm saying it, my son is just about to walk in, my shepherd boy. But the Lord is my shepherd. And what I love about it is that, when I've memorized it in the past, it's the Lord is my, you feel like, one of those moments when it's the newsreader, that's the kids walk in on the newsreader. I'm having one of those moments now as I've been playing. So I know how they feel, that moment where you're just like, please behave, kids, please behave. So you're trying to listen to me, but you really want to pay attention to Reuben. That's absolutely fine. Because I remember hearing this story of some walkers that were going from London to Wales. And they were walking through the hills, and they met somebody else that was walking through the hills in the Welsh countryside. And they all started talking, and they realized they were all Christians. And so they started talking, and as they were walking through the Welsh hillsides, they were seeing the sheep, and they were praying through Psalm 23. And the Welsh guy said that he'd memorized that psalm, and the way when he'd come to memorize the first line was he did it with his hands. The Lord is my shepherd. And it was the Lord, so he could point to God, is my. And I thought that was really significant, that the Lord is my was the fourth finger, which for those of us that are married, it's our wedding ring finger. And he said the comfort that he had in moments of stress and anxiety when he would go, the Lord is my shepherd. And he would hold on to that finger, that the Lord is my shepherd. He is for me. He is with me, and he loves me. This is a moment now. Here we go. gonna grab him out. The Lord is my, and just holding on to that finger in moments of stress, moments of anxiety. And he would do it throughout the day, just holding on to that finger and just clinging on to it as a reminder that God is his shepherd, that God is for him, that this is how God would reveal himself through this song, not as a ruler, not as king, not as sovereign. Absolutely, he's all of those things, but he is a shepherd who leads the way. And I think that also reminds me of my position, that I'm a sheep. I don't know about for you, Ian, what that makes you think of, but I need to be reminded sometimes that I'm not the shepherd. I'm not in control. Sometimes I even want to be the sheepdog, you know, where you think that, okay, the shepherd is, that's great, that's Jesus, fantastic, but hey, I've got to have some control. I've got to do all of this stuff and control things and all that sort of stuff. But I'm not that. I'm the sheep, and I need to be reminded of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting when the use of metaphors and the way that it all, you know, they speak into different things. And you're right. I mean, first and foremost, any leader, any pastor, anybody with a responsibility for leading churches is first and foremost sheep. You know, we are under the good shepherd, and yet we're also under shepherds. So there's always somebody who is above us and leads us. And I think that's a really, really important and helpful insight, because otherwise we make it something that it was never intended to be. And actually, you know, you referenced earlier, John, about how this psalm speaks into it speaks to Jesus, about Jesus and who he is, and that wonderful passage in John 10 where it says, I am the good shepherd. And the way that he leads his people. And I think it's actually the safest place to be, isn't it? When we don't take a responsibility that was never asked to take, but he leads us. You know, I was struck really this sense that the sheep don't lead the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. And if we attune our ear to his voice, then we'll go where he leads us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's move on for the sake of time. Again, please comment, guys, anything that you're thinking, feeling when we're reading this psalm, anything it means to you. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need, or I shall not want. It's because he's our provider. Why would I want to search anywhere else for anything else? Because it does not satisfy, not deep down. You know, we can look to all of that stuff in our life. We can look to other people. We can look to this situation and circumstance being out of our life. But let me tell you, our life wasn't satisfied before this pandemic. It's not satisfied in this pandemic. It won't be satisfied beyond this pandemic outside of Jesus, because our soul longs for something. I think these verses speak in directly to soul rest, what it looks like for us to rest in him. Yeah. And it says here that you have all you need in God. I find that really challenging, because I think for me personally, if I feel like I haven't got something in my life that I need, then maybe I'm putting my hope in that more than I am in Jesus. Yeah. And maybe that thing is an idol in my life, because it's not, I'm running to it and it's not satisfying me. So I'm running to other things. And actually God's saying, hello, you've got all you need over here. Just come to me.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm just looking at some of the comments and picking up on the shepherd idea and being driven, John, which actually I think sort of speaks into that sense of having what we need, because we've got to ask the questions, what drives us? And I think we've got to ask that, each of us have to actually ask that question, what drives us to do the things that we do and what we're chasing after, when you're right, that actually the Lord is our provider, you know, that's the Lord's prayer. When it says, you know, that he gives us our daily bread, our daily provision, it's all found in him. And so I think this, you know, it's really important that, particularly as leaders, we don't drive people towards an agenda that was never a Jesus agenda, because it's just going to wear people out. But equally, it's a community responsibility to listen to the voice of the shepherd and walk with him. And so everybody goes, because it's, you don't just find a shepherd with a sheep generally, unless it's been lost, to bring it back into the fold. It's that sense of sheep are part of a flock. And so I think that sense then that the shepherd provides for us as his people, and that sometimes is through one another.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really good. And how together, you know, I think of that that Jesus in that parable, he leaves the 99 in order to go and find the one. But does that mean the 99 sheep just kind of get lost? And well, maybe they actually stick close together and support each other in that moment where one feels like, hang on, he's left us. No, he hasn't. This shows how much he loves us, because he's gone after, if that was us, he'd go after us. So let's encourage each other. Let's support each other. This is, he is our shepherd. He is for us. I don't think we're going to get onto all three verses, but I just pick up on something that someone's written about, the fact that it says that he leads me, he restores me, he guides me. Just in this bit, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I think that's beautiful, isn't it? That it's him that will cause us to lie down in a space of abundance. A sheep will only lie down in green pastures if it's had its fill, if it knows that it's satisfied. Otherwise, it keeps searching. I don't know about you, when I'm hungry, it's like I'm in the cupboards, the fridge is open. But if I'm in a space that's full of abundance, but I'm full, then I can lie down, I can rest. Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely, John. That whole sense of just being satisfied in him. You know, there's something about having had a satisfying meal, isn't there, where you can sit down and you rest, because you know that you don't need to chase after anything else. And I think when we try and chase after all the other stuff, it leaves us with a longing for more, because actually it's just like eating fast food, you know. And you can tell the difference between something that's just, you know, processed and something that is rich and satisfying. And he does that, and he leads us into these pastures where we rest in him, know him, secure in him, dwelling him, this sense of chewing on his word. And I know that some there have mentioned about, I think Maria mentioned, where the shepherd knows where the good grass is, those green pastures. And it's true. And I think, you know, we were chatting earlier, weren't we, John, about this? And I'm sure we're going to have time today to dig into a little bit more into the green pastures. But I don't know whether you wanted to just share something about the path before we...
Yeah, it actually feeds into each other. One commentator writes about this passage, saying that the green pastures would not be how we would picture the green pastures. The green pastures of a mass open field would have been where they grew the crops for the people to eat. So the sheep wouldn't have grazed there, but it was the hillsides the sheep grazed. And on the hillside, you can see it, that there's the paths where the sheep would have been walking round the field, round the hillside. And this idea that that the shepherd finds the path that has the green pastures, and the green pastures were these little shoots of grass that would grow up where the wind would blow in, the rain would hit the rocks, and it would fall down, and it would gather there, and vegetation would start to sprout up. And they called those green pastures. And so the shepherd would find the path that has that green pasture, would lead the sheep, and there'd be one mouthful here and another mouthful there. It wasn't like munch all you can and sit down with a big fat belly. It was, he's giving you what you've got for right now. Trust him in this moment. That worry doesn't stop the minute we give our lives to Jesus, but we have a place to put our worry, that we can place our worry in him, knowing that we have a hope in him and trust in him. I think I'm going to quote it wrong, but one rabbi says that worrying is putting our hope in tomorrow for today's provision. So hoping for tomorrow with today's provision, that, you know, give us today our daily bread, that God provides for our needs right now. If we are worrying about stuff, then maybe it's tomorrow, and we need to just come back to that. God, you are faithful right now. All we can control is how we're feeling right now. We can reflect on the past and go, God, you've been faithful up to this point. And I need to say right now, God, you are being faithful to me in this moment, and whatever our life looks like. And so the paths of righteousness, I think, is really interesting, isn't it? That he leads us on these paths. Maybe we'll pick this up next week, because I think we've got a lot to speak into these paths of righteousness and the right path. Ian, any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I think that we've probably hit all that we can hit today, I think, John, looking at where we're at in the service. But I think just this sense of this week coming to Jesus afresh, with this idea that he leads us, he guides us. He actually wants us to hear his voice and respond accordingly. He's given us that ability as his people to hear his voice and respond to him in obedience. And we'll pick that out, that whole thing up, I think, next week, because you're right, there's lots to speak into there. But he longs to be with us. I think that's the other thing, that the shepherd wants to be with the sheep.
Yeah.
There's this intimate, connection between shepherd and sheep. And I think that's maybe something for us to pursue this week.
Yeah, that God, just to the church, God wants to be with you. He wants your presence. And, you know, this week we've been looking at silence and solitude, that we don't have to come to him to do anything. You know, there's sometimes where Cara and myself, we're just sat in the same room. Maybe one's working, one's reading a book, we might have a TV on, but we're together. And there's something about, you know, if I'm away or Cara's away, then we miss each other's presence. You don't have to say anything. You know, words are really important, and prayer, and we're going to look at that. But sometimes it's just coming and being with him and just sitting in his presence. And so what we're going to do is we're going to end this morning's time together in a few moments' time. But I just want to encourage you by saying that God wants to be with you. Whether you feel his presence or not, whether you hear his voice or not, he wants to be with you. Don't let your desire to get something from him stop you from being in his presence and just accepting what God gives you in that moment. That we can just surrender to the moment and say, God, your will be done. I'm just coming to you. I'm going to rest in you. And so I want to encourage you this week. We're going to put some videos out through the emails and those kind of things. So if you want to join with us, some of us are going to embark on memorizing this psalm together. Some of you may already have it memorized. That's great. But just coming together through, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we did Bible reading, just gathering around this scripture, Psalm 23, and memorizing it together. That in those moments, maybe this week you want to memorize just that first line. If that's what you can do, the Lord is my shepherd, and hold on to that finger. Maybe you want to try and get the whole thing memorized. Just in those moments, memorizing scripture is one of those things that leads us to the gold. It's the map that leads us to the gold, that when we're in those moments, we can have those scriptures that we can call upon, that we can just quieten our soul and rest in him. So that's one thing this week, if you're able to, just to gather around that and memorize Psalm 23 together. If you don't get our emails, then please sign up to our emails. I think there's a slide coming up now which will give you the details. You can just email admin@occ-stratford.org.uk and we'll get you signed up to those email newsletters going out every week with resources and news and all that kind of stuff. And we're coming out of silence and solitude in our Connect groups. We're going to go into celebration this week. So you extroverts who have been struggling through silence and solitude, you get to have a party this week. So we're going to get some notes out to you and all that stuff. But please grab some snacks, grab some drinks, whatever night your Connect group meets. It's going to be a party night on Zoom. So please make sure you're there for that. Don't miss that. Let's try and prioritize these moments together as we encourage each other and spur one another on. And in that vein, next week is the last Sunday of the month. And on the last Sunday of the month, what we're going to do is an extra Zoom meeting after our gathering together. So after church online, we're going to all shoot onto Zoom. We'll give you all the details for that. And we're going to have about a half hour. It may be that we need to go and get coffees and all that kind of stuff. And between 11:30, 12:00, 11:45, we're going to all come onto Zoom together and do one big Zoom church meeting together where we can see each other, we can chat, we can pray for each other, whatever it is those mornings look like. But we're going to have an additional half an hour together at the end of the last Sunday of the month. So that's next week. So please make sure you're on there for that. We'll get all the details out. Also, just to say that Fiona Barker is she's just I'm gonna mess this up because I don't really fully understand it all, but there's cosmetics that she sells, whatever cosmetics are, face cream, all that kind of stuff, and all the proceeds for that she's giving to the NHS. And so if you, through our Connect groups, we'll get the catalogue out. You can contact your Connect group coordinator. We'll get it through to Fiona, give out her number for those that need it. And you can order those products and they will go to help raise funds for the NHS. So we just want to thank Fiona and others in our church family that are doing things. I know some of you are going out shopping. You're going out and supporting your neighbours. We want to celebrate all that you do. We're really proud of you, church, for what you're doing in this season. It's incredible to see all that you're doing. And so we want to end this service by just praying a blessing over you. We're going to play a video now that is called The Blessing. And it's some words that we just want to speak over you, that God would bless you this week. So enjoy this song. Let it sing over you. Let it speak over you. It's our prayer over each one of us as we go into this week and be a shining light for Jesus, keeping our hope secure in him, our hope in him. Know that the blessing of God is on you. His face is shining upon you. So church, be encouraged. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and